You may have heard me talk about how I went back to school for a master's degree in music when I was in my 30s. And my son Patrick was going into second grade, and my daughter Kelsey was going into kindergarten. And like many adults who go back to school, I had to work while I was going. And it was absolutely insane, and it was wonderful. So much work, but so much fun. I loved it. And I managed to get through the whole program despite my crazy life, except that I took an incomplete for my final master's recital because I just wasn't ready. And like every student who takes an incomplete, I plan to knock it out right away. But as a working mother, I just couldn't make the time. And then my own mother got sick, and it was 2 years later, and I still hadn't done the recital to accomplish this degree. It was my albatross. And then, at my mother's funeral, my older cousin, Sheila Fumarello, who was a well-respected classical singer and teacher, whom I rarely saw, she came over to me and asked how I was doing and if she could do anything for me. I jokingly said, "Well, you can get me my master's degree." And she said, "I absolutely can do that." And I laughed because I had been joking. But she didn't laugh. She said, "You need to come to me." And the short version of the rest of the story is that with the incredible force of her personality, which was legendary, she knocked down every one of my reasons why I couldn't do it, from being out of vocal shape to logistical and financial impossibilities. And she pushed me to somehow agree that I would get my upstairs neighbor, Chris, a high school football player whose nickname was Weasel, to babysit Pat and Kelsey on Tuesday nights and get them a pizza. And I would drive the hour and a half from my job in the Bronx up to Poughkeepsie, where she lived, and then we would work together at her home. And she worked with me on my repertoire, and she brought in and paid for herself her own favorite accompanist, James, and we worked together for months. And I registered to do my big recital, and before that semester had ended, I scheduled it, and I did it. And I passed, and I got my master's degree. Sheila got me my master's degree. She had said, "You need to come to me." She knew it would be the right thing. And I learned way more than music from that beautiful soul. You go to the one who loves you enough to share what they are with you. Sheila was a force of nature and talent and generosity, and also a little terrifying. She was honestly one in a million. But my story isn't one in a million. Just sift through your own heart for a minute. Is there not somewhere in your own story or person that was that one that catapulted you out of something or into something that changed something or everything? Who have you gone to, and who has waited for you to stay? You go to the one who has what you need and loves you enough to share all that they are with you, and you stay because they stay with you. It's not always easy, and it's not always pretty. Sometimes it's so hard, you don't even want to do it. I was lucky that, God love her, Sheila would not take no for an answer, although the benefit was all to me. Once the commitment was made, there was no out. There was no, "Oh, I can't drive up there tonight, I'm exhausted." Oh, no. Lord, to whom can we go? Throughout the Gospels, we see poor Peter put his foot in it time and again, don't we? But today, not today. Today, Peter lays it out with clarity and prescience when he says, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." You go with the one who has what you need and loves you enough to share what they are with you, even when it's hard. We are Christians. We go to Jesus by definition. Now, Peter and the disciples, they could literally, physically go and stay with Jesus, the human person incarnate. I think we modern-day Christians imagine that the people who could be with Jesus in person, they had it easier. We think that if Jesus were just standing right in front of us, giving us direct communication from his lips, how much easier would it be to say yes to Jesus? But think about today's reading from the Gospel of John, where Jesus straight up tells them something hard. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." Jesus says this in a culture of strict purity laws about food and blood. So it's shocking language. Even if it were understood as metaphor, which who knows how the people in his day heard it, it's hard to understand and to stick with someone talking like that. The gospel says, they said, "This is a difficult teaching." I don't think that's a direct quote. I don't know that Peter understood exactly what Jesus was getting at, but Peter knew this. He had to stay with Jesus. "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." Can you and I say that? I think we're here because we believe that, or try to believe that, but staying with Jesus can be hard. It's hard when we read difficult scriptures. It's even harder when life gets difficult and we don't understand what God is up to. Is God even there? Does God care what's happening? It's hard when we're in a cold spell in our prayer life or in our faith. Is God even there? Is God listening? We too can feel like turning away. John wrote, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. Well, it's human to feel that way, to get discouraged and frustrated, to get confused, to feel like we're losing faith, even though faith and doubt go hand in hand. They're companions on the journey. But our hope as Christians is in Jesus, even when we don't know. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Well, they probably felt squirrely about it, at least, just as we do sometimes. But then Peter speaks up. "You have the words of eternal life." He is so close to right. Jesus is the word of eternal life. Jesus is the word made flesh. But Peter understands enough of his experience of being with Jesus to ask what we all may ask. "Lord, no matter what, who are we going to go to if we don't go with you? Who else in our lives is the one who loves enough to share wholly what they are with us? To share it wholly in the way that Jesus does. Who says, 'Come to me, eat my body, drink my blood, consume all that I am, and take me wholly into your heart.'" Not just the way Jesus did with his life and teaching and his death and resurrection, but the way Jesus does, continues to, always, right now. Isn't that why we're here? Where else shall we go? There are questions to which only Jesus is the answer. And the answer is not usually a human-sized explanation. because so much of life's biggest questions, they're inexplicable. The fullness of God is inexplicable, or it wouldn't be God. Because the ultimate question that arises in me, it's how am I going to get through this life with its hardships and its unbearable loss if I don't go to Jesus, consuming all that he is, all that is offered by the one who loves enough to share himself entirely with me, with all of us. It can be hard to have faith living in this world, but in having faith in the Word made flesh, Peter and the others got to walk the path alongside Jesus. In all their imperfections, cataloged for millennia for people to read in the scriptures, these imperfect people got to walk with Jesus. In all of our imperfections, blessedly not cataloged in scripture for all the world to read, we too get to walk with Jesus. You all and I, we've been on this path, this walking with Jesus together here at St. Mark's for over 5.5 years. We've seen a thing or two together, some of it very beautiful, and some of it very hard. You will remain in my heart as I change ministries and move to serve in a different state. But our common walk, that stays the same. You've got to know to whom to go, even and especially if it's hard. And where else should that be except to the one who loves us enough to share God's self with us? Jesus is the word of eternal life. Go with him.